हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय ओके Then, so Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Northern Ocean, Third Wave, Chapter 46, Astonishment and Chivalry. So verse 439, page 21. Sometimes there are astonishing, intense mock battles between two natural fighters on the same side. 4310, from Harivamsa. The Lord Madhusudana, in front of Kunti, defeated Arjuna, wielder of the Gandiva, the best of the Bard dynasty, in mock battle. Right, so the two of them are natural fighters. In other words, Krishna is a warrior, Arjuna is a warrior. So they're on the same, so they're both warriors, and they're on the same side, right? The same, and sometimes they fight amongst themselves. So it's just the nature of this fighting. You know, here it says fighting with his best friends, right? So then this is given. So in the chivalry, it may come up. It's just a rasa. So, but it'll be a mock fight. You know, if they're fighting with someone else who's on the other side of the enemy, then it's not a mock fight, right? Chivalry still may be there, but it's a different taste. 4310 from Harivamsa. The Lord Madhusudana, we just mentioned that one. Srila Prabhupada, there's a statement in the Harivamsa that sometimes Arjuna and Krishna fought in the presence of Kunti, and Arjuna would be defeated by Krishna. 4.3.11. Right? Because here is Arjuna is the son, and Krishna is the nephew. Right? So they're cousins. So they're both on that same level of children. Like that. So they're, you know, cousin brothers. So they're brothers like that. So then, you know, it happens. 4.3.11. The Udipanas of Yudhavira Rasa are boasting, striking the arms in challenge, rivalry, showing strength, taking up weapons, and being aroused by the words of the opponent. Srila Prabhupada. In such chivalrous fighting between friends, there is sometimes bragging, complacence, pride, power, taking to weapons, challenging and standing as an opponent. All of these symptoms become impetus to chivalrous devotional service. So that there's that inspiration in this. Someone takes that up. They say, yes, I'm so great and all that. And, you know, what are you doing or this? Or they challenge or, you know, in some way that they instigate a fight. You know, so these things are there. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, friends are at the house like that, and one of them picks up a pillow and, you know, it's not time to sleep or anything. It's very nicely checking out the pillow and seeing how it works and this. The other person then might pick up the pillow and start the fight, right? You know, so it's just something to, it just creates the mood. 4.3.12, boasting as Udipana. Right? Oh, Damodar, you are expert only at eating. Do not boast. After winning over weak Subala by cheating, this peacock in the form of Stoka Krishna, destroyer of the snake of your long arms, is dancing madly nearby while making loud sounds. Right? So just saying, oh, you're only good at eating. And yeah, you can say is okay, you won over Subal, but you know, Subal's weak and you cheated. And that's why you won. But otherwise you wouldn't. And so therefore, then in the form, this peacock, Stoka Krishna, Then giving you that he's the peacock and who'll defeat the snake of your long arms, right? Because peacocks can defeat snakes, right? And so then he's making all kinds of sounds and all that, boasting and that. And so this way then, you know, Krishna may be inspired to take up the fight. Srila Prabhupada, one friend challenged Krishna thus, my dear friend Damodar, you are an expert only in eating. You have defeated Subal only because he is weak and you adopted cheating means. Don't advertise yourself to be a great fighter by such action. You have advertised, so he may be boasting about this and Stoka Krishna is therefore saying, oh, don't boast, you know. You have advertised yourself as a serpent and I am a peacock who will now defeat you. The peacock is the ablest enemy of the serpent, right? Because they have even more at hand than the mongoose. Mongoose is also very good, but the peacock, you know, can do it with class because they have the feet, they have the beak, and they also have the you know, the feathers, the tail feathers and all that. So they can use that to whack and distract and do all kinds of things. So they're very, very expert. That's why Krishna wears the peacock feather, because Radharani is a peacock, then defeated him as a snake. And so he always wears the peacock feather to show his defeat at the hands of Radharani. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami. Pindi Sura, brave at eating cake. Oh, that is funny. Brave at eating cake. Yes, you are so brave at eating cake. Yeah, just see. I will defeat this cake. You know, like that. Yeah. Means skillful at eating. That's it, just the words themselves, brave at eating cake. Though Subala is weak, you won by cheating only. Kalapi means peacock who dances on hearing the thundering clouds, but also in reference to Stoka Krishna means equipped with arrows or with ornaments. 4:3, 13 to 14. If the above actions, such as boasting, are only for one's own awareness, they are anubhavas. The wise say the other anubhavas are. Say the other anubhavas are self-pride, roaring like a lion, proud words, bounding about, enthusiasm to fight even without assistance, not fleeing from battle, and making the fearful fearless. Srila Prabhupada. In such fighting between friends, when the self-advertisement becomes personal, learned scholars say that it is sub-ecstasy. When there is a roaring challenge, certain kinds of movement for fighting, enthusiasm, no weapons, and assurance given to the frightened witnesses, all these chivalrous actions are called sub-ecstasy. Srila Jiva Goswami. Aho Purushika means respect for oneself out of pride. Shvedita means roar of a lion. Akrosha means words uttered with prize. Valganam is trotting about in a special way in preparation for battle. Yudecha means enthusiasm to fight. Right, so they're saying that these are our sub-ecstasy. Right, so this is then, boasting is an udipan, that they do that and that might inspire Krishna. But it is a sub-ecstasy on oneself, right? Boasting is anubhava, 4:3:15. O killer of Keshi, you know that I am Bhadrasena. Why are you eager to fight with weak Baladev? My arms, rivaling a shining door bolt, is ashamed of this. Srila Prabhupada, one friend addressed Krishna in this matter. My dear Madhusudana, you know my strength, yet you are encouraging Bhadrasena and not me to challenge mighty Baladev. By this action, you are simply insulting me because my arms are as strong as the bolts of the gate. Right? Because the gate, the bolts have to be very strong. Otherwise, if you batter the gate, then it's all dependent upon the strength of these bolts. So when you say the bolts of a gate, that means very strong, you know, like that. So we mean like the gate, like on the, you know, the palace door, the, you know, the big compound door, and that. We don't mean like on a Barbie doll house or something. 4:3:16. Show of pride. O Lord of the cowherds, all glories to Sudama, who, displaying great confidence and roaring like a lion, danced around until his hair stood on end and his eagerness of fighting increased. When the proud Krishna tightened his belt with great show, right? Because when they do it, instead of just, you know, they're just doing it, they'll make a big thing out of it, you know. So that's all part of it. It's just, it's all the Udipana to inspire others and all that. So that's the thing in the play, it's over exaggerated. So that's why it's not a problem. And you see in the dramas and all that melodramatic aspect where they over dramatize something, but it just brings out more taste. You know, nowadays it's all about reality and all that kind of stuff, even though we do have to remember that it is a movie or it is a book. Right? But the point is it's about trying to create a particular mood. But nowadays people are, you know, they consider themselves, you know, so proud that, low, unless it's real, I won't get involved, emotionally involved. But they will get emotionally involved and find fault, but they won't. But the other, then they bring that out and it just adds to the flavor. It's just, so these things, you know, that come up naturally between, especially equals and that.
Maharaj?
Yes.
It said in Natya Shastra, like when on these special occasions like this, like where you're fighting or where you're doing like this, then the legs, means the knees, should be raised on the level of your breast, just to show that, like, it's the gait.
It's overly done. Yeah. So then you pick up, yeah, like that, and you do this whole thing. Yeah, because then you make it that it's, yeah, it's really happening here. You know, so it's all about the walk. So they don't even have to literally fight. You know, it can all be just a mock fight. You know, they might have sticks and then they fight, you know, that kind of thing, because it's all about the mood. It's and just how to exchange.
And interestingly, the fight is some of the dance mudras. So the dance mudras, some of them, like, can be used for fighting also. So it is lot of grace rather than, yes, like that passion and ignorance kind of.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Well, even when it said in the fight between Jarasandha and Bhima, you know, at the clubs, then the way they would move in that, because they were so expert, you know, when you practice something so much, you get, it has such a flow that it was compared to, it was like dancing. It was just so perfect and so beautiful how one would do one and the other. It was just like dancing and all that. So that means they had to be that expert to bring it in. And it's also interesting. Yeah. So yes, it's a very much a, it can be, the two can be together like that. I think there's a few in the world where you have some other country come in and take over. And so then there's always going to be worry for, you know, revolt or anything, you know, some revolution. And so the local martial art that they all know is naturally banned so that they can't. And also the weapons and this and that. So in some of the cultures, then they just turn their martial art practice into a dance. And within the dance, then they do. And there's even cases where the opposing you know, power, you know, in their, when they have their parties and that, might even invite in some of the locals to perform this dance, because this dance is very famous. They don't know that this is a martial arts dance like that. And so then they do all these nice things like that. Yeah, so the two can go together very well. Yes.
It's so funny, much. But Bruce Lee originally was a dancer.
Yes, so that's why he was so good, you know. And he could do those more dramatic poses and all that. Everybody else wasn't as good at that. Yeah. And I take it that what's his name? Jackie Chan was a comedian, or? But yeah, so the point is the dance and the martial arts, you know, at least that they can go together. And you see, it's just the fineness of it, you know, like that they were talking about, like when we get into the battle in Kurukshetra, then it's always talking about that lightness of hand that is there, just how excellently they can do it. It's light. It's not this gross kind of thing, and that, you know, it's not like berserkers or something, you know. It's very refined.
Also, Maharaj, Arjuna was an excellent
cat. Sorry?
Bruce Lee used to move around like a cat. He looked like a cat when he was fighting.
Ah. We'll do it to a cat. So that means four.
Like a cat, like a tiger, like a...
That's what I said, four, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's far out, yeah. He used his stance and all that. Yeah, so very graceful. Like you see cats. Cats are very good fighters, but they're very graceful when they move and everything. So that's the thing, is that in these, it's not that refinement of dress and in movement and in speech and all that is a sign of weakness. These all add, it's all part of the human culture in that. So you see Krishna and the devotees, then they can manifest, and then fighting and all that becomes part of that thing. And we saw before, they're very good dressers, they can move very nicely, they can speak very, because even you see when they're speaking, they're boasting and to invoke, you know, the chivalry in a fight, but they're saying it in poetic terms, like that, you know. And then, like Prabhu was saying in the drama, when you depict it, then it's always, you know, everything is exaggerated. And it says here, you know, when the proud Krishna tightened his belt with great show, so he's tightening his belt because you want your belt to be tight, so one, it doesn't fall off and it holds your cloth in place. So you'll always see is that before a fight, there's always tightening of the belt. Even before he went into, what do you call it? Jumped into the Jamuna to chastise Kaliya. He tightened his belt first. That was the first thing. So it's naturally part of the show is tightening of your belt, you know, or throwing the chudder, you know, something like that, you know, so you're ready for a fight. And so... it's all part of the taste. Yes? Okay.
So Maharaj, I just wanted to say that the Manipuri culture, you know, is very strong, martial art and rasa dance, you know.
Yes.
And very often they go in the same program. Same program, they do one after the other, you know.
Yeah, that's true. They do rasa dance, they do the mridanga thing, and they do the martial arts. They all go together.
Yes. Always these three items, you know, in any
True, and it's all done in dance form.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and sometimes when they play...
sometimes even some people can do in the three items.
Oh, all at once.
No, not what I'm done. But sometimes they need, when there is a big show, you know, sometimes one or two person are missing, you know, sick or something like that, you know.
Okay.
They can use, because they know the three things. You know?
Okay, so each one can do all three of them.
Yes, means an emergency, not in a regular way, but an emergency.
Okay. You know? Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure how it would work out if you had the ones wearing the big hoop skirts and all that, and then the next thing, then they get out the swords and do all that kind of.
Personally, I've seen, right, you know, personally, Manipur.
No, but with the skirts on?
No.
That's what I'm meaning. That would be pretty wild, right? You know,
yeah.
The rasa dance, and then they pick up the swords, and then, you know, then the demons come out. And they...
Yes. Even in Navadvipa Maharaj, you know, in the Manipuri places, you know, there are a few temples. One is from the Queen of Manipur, and the King of Manipur, different things, sometimes some fighting. The past, according to the story. You know.
Okay. Look at that. 4.3.17. All the four types of heroes show all the sattvika bhavas. And all the vyavichari bhavas, such as garva, pride, avega, confusion of the mind, driti, steadiness, vrida, shame, mati, finding meaning through scriptural reference. Oh, here's where you were saying mati, finding meaning through scriptural reference. Like they'll talk about the scripture and say, you know, just like this, you know, this is how the fight will be, or just like, you know, this was happening, we're going to defeat you and like that. Okay. So mati. Okay. Harsha, joy. Abhita, concealment. Amarsha, indignation. Utsukata, impatience. Asuya, fault finding. And smriti, remembrance. Okay. 4.3.18. The steady desire to win in fighting, either acquired or natural, induced either by one's own strength or with encouragement of others' help, which arises when yudhotsaha, the rati, becomes the stai bhava, is called yuyotsaha, Srila Jiva Goswami. The description of yuyotsaha, etc., with qualities like the desire to win, are included with the general qualities of utsaha rati, previously mentioned in 2557. Firm and immediate attachment of the mind to activities such as battle, whose results are praised by the saintly persons, is called utsaha. The intention here is to indicate a very deep desire for winning, right? So you also have just interesting in that, because the word utsaha, you know, is endeavoring with intelligence when we're applying in bhakti, but it also means that you're going to desire to win over Maya and establish yourself in Krishna consciousness. So that war with Maya and all that is a bona fide thing, right? Because otherwise it was taken, oh, you can't bring up these war references and all that, but who doesn't care for war references? Right? Hippies, you know, so we're not hippies. Like that. So it's just our own attachments. We, you know, don't use the war references anymore. 4.3.19. Regaining desire to fight on one's own. Right? When his father discouraged him, Stoka Krishna was not willing to fight with Krishna. However, when challenged by Krishna, he became eager to fight. He took up his stick and began to whirl it around. Srila Prabhupada, a devotee once said, "My dear Lord Krishna, may your challenger, Sri Dhamma, become glorious for his chivalrous activities, such as vibrating like a thundercloud and roaring like a lion. May all glories go to Sri Dhamma's chivalrous actions. Chivalrous activities in the matter of fighting, charity, mercy, and execution of religious rituals are called constitutional. Whereas expression of pride, emotion, endurance, kindness, and determination, jubilation, enthusiasm, jealousy, and remembrance are all unconstitutional." Right, so that means in the chivalrous activities. So fighting, charity, mercy, and execution of religious rituals, they go together. That's why you see the kings are so... That, you know, they're glorified in fighting, they're great in charity, they're merciful to those who surrender and those who need shelter, and they're great, known for performance of religious rituals. So that's why you can refer to it. You see many times when they're talking with the kings, they just talk about them as you know, oh, performer of ritualistic activities, or oh, who is, you know, give shelter to the weak, or those who are given charity. Any of these four can be used, and it just enhances the nature of the chivalrous quality. But he says these others, they're unconstitutional, means that they'll come up and go down. So pride, emotion, endurance, kindness, determination, jubilation, enthusiasm, jealousy, and remembrance are called unconstitutional. When Stoka Krishna, one of many friends of Krishna, was fighting with him, his father chastised him for fighting with Krishna, who is the life and soul of all residents of Vrindavan. Upon hearing these chastisements, Stoka Krishna stopped his fighting, but Krishna continued to challenge him. And thus, in order to meet the challenge, Stoka Krishna took his pole, began to display his dexterity by whirling it. Right. So these other things is that, you know, the endurance or the determination of these things go up and down and stuff like that. That is just unconstitutional. So by other influences, then they get distracted. That then you have, it comes back to its natural position. Right, as soon as there's, you know, some udipan from Krishna, like that. Srila Jiva Goswami.
Yeah. When there is this four constitutional thing, is it like a special order? So for a king first fighting, or like that, or it's altogether?
Well, not necessarily, because you're going to, you know, execution of religious duties, that'll be taught from the beginning, you know, and then you have to develop the charity, mercy, and all that. But the fighting is just to establish things in its proper order. But if things are going right, there's no need of fighting. Religious rituals of mercy and charity are always there. But you're always practicing your fighting and always ready for fighting. That's why they go hunting and things like that.
Yes.
They'll do their daily exercises and all. But now and again, they'll go out to just see that it's working nicely. You know, when they hear that there's, you know, too many, how many dangerous animals in the forest and that. Because you have these big forests, you know, so they're not going in and removing the forest, you know, for some industry or something like that. So, or, you know, a new housing project. So then the forest is going very nicely. But when you get too many of these wild boars and tigers and lions and bears and that, then the king will go out and adjust that, bring it more back into balance.
Yes.
Yeah. Because otherwise, if he's only known for fighting and not these others, then you might doubt whether they're a Kshatriya.
Yes.
They might just be, you know, a soldier who's fighting on behalf of the king. Right. So when you put all four together, then you have a proper Kshatriya. Some people are very, like Mother Teresa is very merciful like that, or very charitable, but there's no fighting and necessarily, you know, supposed to be religious things, maybe. You know, so you just see there'll be these different aspects. Some is very religious, but they might not have the fighting aspect or stuff. You know, yeah. So, but combining them all together, then it works very nicely. Srila Jiva Goswami. Shloka Krishna was instructed by his father, "How unfortunate you are to fight with Krishna, the life of us all." Hearing that instruction, he clearly gave up the desire to fight. Instead of anichchana, not desiring. Sometimes Chyaktam gave up is seen. But so he gave up, meaning that he gave up the desire to fight. Not that he didn't have any desire to fight, because they're friends. They always do those things. It's all part of the friendship rasa. 4.3.20, natural desire to fight encouraged only by oneself. Oh, wimpy Bhadrasena, I am Sridhama. Do not be afraid on seeing my arm thick like an elephant's trunk. Today I will defeat Balaram in a mock battle and then challenge Krishna to fight. Srila Jiva Goswami. Ahvayeya is atmane pada verb form. I should call out for Krishna, meaning I will challenge him for my pleasure.
All right.
So just on, yes.
Sridhama is considered as like the one who is in pure virya. So he is like of the same age of Krishna. Then he's challenging, like, you know, he's telling Bhadrasena and he's challenging Balaram, who is elder also. Like he goes.
He's elder also. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But here it just means the natural desire to fight occurs only by myself. It means no one else has done anything. Right, you could get inspired by seeing someone else challenging you to fight, or like Krishna's tightening his belt in a dramatic way, so he's getting ready for a fight. So then you're inspired, and so now you'll say things or use this boasting or, you know, show of pride or all these other aspects. But here it's just on your own, like you said, he's the natural mood of that virya. So he just on his own then takes up these moods and then start. He begins the flavor, and then others will join in, because it's all part of the fun. So that's the 4.3.21, another example. The deep-voiced Bhadrasena on Krishna's side, defending the friends on strong Balaram's side by his harsh roaring. Oh, deafening the friends on strong Balaram's side by harsh roaring. Churn them all by himself, like the Mandara mountain churning the ocean. This gave pleasure to Krishna, right? So just there, they're you know, they're saying in that, you know, they have the size. He just start like this to just get them to you know, and then they're, wow, what's going on? And so this then just himself, he's creating this whole flavor of chivalry just on his own, you know, so nothing's been done. And so then that itself, then he's giving pleasure to Krishna, right? Because then it gives an opportunity. Okay, now we can fight, right? Srila Prabhupada, once Sri Dama challenged Bhadrasena and said to him, "My dear friend, you needn't be afraid of me yet. I shall first of all defeat your brother Balaram, then I shall beat Krishna, and then I shall come to you." Yeah, you don't need to be afraid yet. You know, so it's kind of like reassuring. You don't need to be afraid yet, because first I'm going to defeat these others, then I'll come to you. Right? Just in such a very, you know, pleasant way of saying, you know, like that. Bhadrasena therefore left the party of Balaram and joined Krishna. And he agitated his friends as much as the Mandara Hill had agitated the whole ocean. By his roaring sounds, he deafened all his friends, and he inspired Krishna with his chivalrous activities. Srila Jiva Goswami, ekaha is the same as the more common ekaki, meaning alone, by oneself. This follows from the rule ekadakin chashahava. The word eka, when it means alone, can take the form ekaki or ekaha. Panini 5.3.52, right? Because you need a variety of ways to do something. You say, well, why not just one? Because in poetry, you may need the ekaki form or the ekaka form, depending on how it's nicely going to fit into the poetry. Either the one has one, two, or the other one has three syllables, or you want it how you're trying to make the rhymes and other things like that, the alliteration and stuff. So there'll be these different forms. Amar Kosh says, eka ki dvena ekaha. Eka ki means the same as eka and ekaha. Sometimes instead of ekaha, the word ekala is found in the verse, but this is a writing mistake. Right, just somehow or another putting a K, they put an L, and they didn't put that little line at the end to show that the.
Maharaj? Hare Krishna, yes. Maharaj? Sometimes these mistakes happen because of introducing some like Prakrit languages. That's now I'm going through in Natya Shastra. That right. Second ka instead of ka, they go through la. So those actually are not Sanskrit, yeah. But that's why it's pointed out it's a mystic.
Yes. Yeah. You also find as many times as that in one language and another language, it'll be seemingly the same word, but it's different because you have, you know, ta ta da da. So they'll interchange these. Kaka gaga, yeah, yaralava. All these things become interchanged, and so because of that, then it takes on this other, you know, it's other sound like that. But yeah, okay, yeah, and they generally come up in some variety of Prakrit. Yeah, like kata. Yeah, like you have an N at the end of things, you know, in the Varga, ta-ta-da-da-na. And so instead of I'm going to, I'm gonna. Right? So the N replaces the T.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, stuff like that. So that's what you're saying they're pointing out. Okay. 4.3.22. Regaining enthusiasm for battle by another person's assistance. Quote, since I am bursting with fierce prowess, do not accept defeat in this battle. Hearing these words from a friend, Vardutapa, uttering unnatural sounds, charged towards the Lord. a natural sound, so it must be all kind of, you know, that, like this kind of thing. Srila Prabhupada. Once Krishna challenged all his friends and said, "My dear friends, just see, I am jumping with great chivalrous prowess. Please do not flee away." Upon hearing these challenging words, a friend named Varutapa counter-challenged the Lord and struggled against him. I just immediately, as soon as he said it, then immediately he just came in. 4.3.23. Natural enthusiasm for battle with additional encouragement. Expert Sudama, with arms eager for battle, had sufficient strength to conquer Krishna in combat. If he were to take the help of strong Subal, he would be like a jewel set in gold. Srila Prabhupada. One of the friends once remarked, "Sudama is trying his best to see Damodar defeated. And I think that if our powerful Subal joins him, there will be a very beautiful combination, like a valuable jewel decked with gold." That means that they're fighting together, then these things will come out. Like if Subal is supporting Sudama, then it will be very successful, right? Because the jewel is the main thing, but it, with that support of the gold, then it becomes even more nice. Right? You know, they're saying because the diamond, the jewel is more valuable than the gold, you know, or the prominent thing, you know, that's there. But when it's set in the gold, it enhances it more. You know, it makes it more practical. It works better, it looks better and all that. So the setting becomes very important. So in this way is that even though, yes, Sudama is doing very well, but if it now is Subal helps him, then it'll be just like, you know, this jewel bedecked with gold. Srila Jiva Goswami. Jat or jhat means to combine with. Sujatita is the past participle form, means combined together very well. Instead of sujatita, sujatitaha, sometimes jatilita is found, but this is not so acceptable. Jatila is formed when in a group of words called pichadi, which add the suffix la to mean possessing. Kind of like Tamil. They stick la in everything.
Yes, Maharaj.
I'm going to the market, la, you know, like that.
Yeah, yes.
Thus from jata comes jatila, meaning jatavat, having shaggy locks of hair. Panini 5-2-100. This is inappropriate in the context. So it's not that, you know, you're fighting is that, but if you had shaggy locks of hair, then that would be like a jewel bedecked with gold. No. It means that if you're combined with like that. It's not, yeah. 4.3.20. In Vira Bhakti Rasa, the friends are the opponents of Krishna. They are not the opponents of enemies. When there is an enemy giving agitation to the devotee becomes the alambana of Raudra Ras. In Raudra Ras, the eyes become red, etc. This is absent in Vira Ras. This is the difference between Vira and Raudra Ras. Srila Prabhupada. In these chivalrous activities, only Krishna's friends can be opponents. Krishna's enemies can never actually be his opponents. Therefore, this challenging by Krishna's friends is called devotional service in chivalrous activities. Right? So when it mentions about it becomes the sty, it becomes all these things, because when this comes up, then the friendship takes kind of the back seat and the prominence becomes the chivalry. You know? And so that's what is there. But it will leave and the sty bhava will be there. Right? So when they mention about the sty bhava of chivalrous rasa, it just means when you're in that mood, these are the qualities that you'll see. These are the activities. These are the inspiration. Does that make sense? Yeah. 4.3.25. There are two types of danaviras. The person who gives in plenty, Bahu Prada, and the renounced person who does not want to accept what is offered by the Lord. Right. So they're both considered chivalrous because the Lord is offering, let's say, Prahlad Maharaj or somebody liberation, and he doesn't accept it. So that means you have to be controlled and everything in the senses. So that means, you know, on that of controlling the mind, controlling the desires and all that, then they're very chivalrous. Okay. 4.3.26. The person who will give everything immediately for Krishna's pleasure is called the Bahu Prada, generous giver. 4:3:27-28. The Udipana for the Dhanavirya is seeing a person worthy of charity. The Anubhavas are giving more than asked, talking with a slight smile, steadiness, kindness, and patience, etc. The Vyavichari Bhavas are Vitarka, conjecture, Outsukya, impatience, and Harsha, joy, and others. Footnote 4. In verse 17, it has been mentioned that all four types of Viryas display all the Sattvika Bhavas. Thus, Sattvika Bhavas are not mentioned here. Right? So, because they're all the same, because all four then give the same. In the Dana, because that's just happening. So these are the particular things, the Anubhavas of what they want to do. You know, what is causing it and what they want to do. So then the Sattvika Bhavas don't need to be explained. Again. In the Dhanavirya, Dhanotsaha Rati is the Stai Bhava. A very steady desire to give is called a Dhanotsaha. 4:3:30. There are two types of plentiful givers.
Oh.
Maybe this is where it's coming from. These four types of chivalrous activities. Because there's a discussion of four kinds of kings. So I guess which one they emphasize.
Yes, one. Given in the beginning.
Yeah. These four kinds of kings are like that. And so, but it's not that there can't be a combination. Like you see, Karna is always into fighting. Whenever there's a discussion of politics, this, that, he just wants to fight. At the same time, he's very charitable. Okay. And Yudhishthira's Maharaj is known for his religious rituals. You know, his, you know, that's where he's prominent. But, you know, they can do all four, but. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. There are two types of plentiful givers. Abhyudhayika, giving on auspicious occasions, and Krishna Sampradanaka, giving in surrender to Krishna. So when it's a proper time and all that, you give, or it's all given just to surrender to Krishna. You see these things and you give it all to Krishna. 4:3:31. The person who gives everything to the requesters, such as the Brahmins, for the sake of Krishna, is called the Abhyudhayika Dhanavirya. Okay, for the sake of Krishna. Yeah. And 4:3:32, an example. When the pure-hearted Nanda gave all the best cows to the Brahmins on the occasion of celebrating Krishna's birth, the surrounding Brahmins were so satisfied that they exclaimed loudly that it eclipsed the charity of King Riga. And we know his charity was, you know, very exceptional. Srila Prabhupada, Dhanavirya, or chivalry in giving charity, may be divided into two parts, munificence and renunciation. A person who can sacrifice everything for the satisfaction of Krishna is called munificent. When a person desires to make a sacrifice because of seeing Krishna, Krishna is called the impetus for munificent charity. When Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj, in clear consciousness, Nanda Maharaj desired all auspiciousness for his son, and thus began to give valuable cows in charity to all the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas were so satisfied by this charitable action that they were obliged to say that the charity of Maharaj Nanda had excelled the charity of such past kings as Maharaj Prithu and Riga. 4:3:33:34. Okay. There's a name for it when the numbers can reverse.
Maharaj?
Said there's a name for when numbers can be reversed and they're the same number.
A palindrome?
Maybe, because this 4:3:3.
Palindrome, yeah.
3:3:4. It means, yeah.
Yes.
When a person realizes the real nature of the Lord and gives to the Lord all his possessions, which are sources of material identity and possessiveness, this is called Tat sampradanaka. There are two types, giving out of affection and giving as worship. Srila Prabhupada. When a person knows the glories of the Lord completely and is prepared to sacrifice everything for the Lord, he is called sampradanaka, or one who gives everything in charity for the sake of the Lord. 4.3.3.5. And then giving affection. What is given to the Lord as an affectionate friend is called priti dana. 4.3.36. After completing all the ceremonial functions at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthira desired to give Krishna sandalwood, a Vaijayanti garland, ornaments with the best rubies and golds, elephants, chariots, and horses decked in gold, his family and himself. Not seeing anything else worth of giving, he became afflicted. You know, because he ran out, once you give it, there's nothing else. And so, Srila Prabhupada. When Maharaj Yudhishthira went with Krishna in the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice, in his imagination, he began to anoint the body of Krishna with pulp of sandalwood. He decorated Krishna with a garland hanging down to his knees. He gave Krishna garments, all embroidered with gold. He gave Krishna ornaments, all bedecked with valuable jewels. And he gave Krishna many fully decorated elephants, chariots, and horses. He further wished to give Krishna in charity his kingdom, his family, and his personal self also. After so desiring, when there was nothing actually to give in charity, Maharaj Yudhishthira became very perturbed and anxious. Srila Jiva Goswami. Karburan, karburena, means mixed with gold. This event was not the Agra Puja performed before the sacrifice. For the words makha sadasi in the assembly of the sacrifice, it indicates it occurred after, actually occurred after the rites were completed, right? So now there's nothing to give. So then he was in anxiety because he'd like to give things to Krishna. 4.3.3.7. What is given to the Lord himself or his form representing the devas or the brahmanas is called puja dana. Srila Jiva Goswami. Vipra rupaya, the Lord as the form of the brahmanas is representative and indicates the Lord himself. His form is the devatas, and his form is the brahmanas. Okay, so it's himself, the form of the devatas, and his form is the brahmanas. So any of these forms that you're seeing them all in connection with Krishna, then giving that charity there, then that is the puja dana. 4.3.38, from the eighth canto. A great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles, for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.20.11. 4.3.39. From Dasa Rupaka. Bali offered the ball of grains to the hand of the Lord, which is colored with the kumkuma from the breast of Lakshmi. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, Maharaj Bali once told his priest, Sukracharya, my dear sage, you are fully expert in knowledge of the Vedas, and as such, you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, by Vedic rituals. As far as the Brahmana dwarf, the incarnation Brahmana Deva, is concerned, he is Lord Vishnu, a simple Brahman, or even my enemy. I have decided to give him in charity all the land he has asked for. Maharaj Bali was so fortunate that the Lord extended before him his hand, which was reddish from touching the breast of the goddess of fortune, who is always smeared with red kumkuma powder. In other words, although the personality of Godhead is so great that the goddess of fortune is always under his command for enjoyment, he still extended his hands to take charity from Bali Maharaj. Because like, everything's going to be all opulence, all wealth, and that we know it's coming, goddess of fortune, she takes care of that. But still, he's accepting charity from Bali Maharaj like that, you know, just out of his kindness. Srila Jiva Goswami, the word purdaka, ball of ground grain, should be added to the sentence to complete the meaning. For 3.40. The person who does not want to accept even the five kinds of liberation offered by the Lord, who is pleased by the Lord, who is pleased with him, is called the Upasthita Dura Partha Jagi, one who is resolute to reject things rarely attained by others. Footnote 5. This is a different meaning of Dhanavirya. The usual meaning of the phrase would be a person determined in giving. In this case, it would mean a person determined in regards to being given things. He is determined to refuse them, right? So we saw renunciation was the other form, right? Like that. That was the original thing here. Two types. Gives in plenty, and the renounced person who does not want to accept what is offered by the Lord. That's 4.325. Srila Jiva Goswami. Though there are two types of this chagi, the sadhaka and the siddha, here the sadhaka with firm determination, who's developed some taste for the Lord, is indicated, not a siddha who has realized the full sweetness of the Lord. It is not like the case of a person having tasted nectar, showing natural distaste for sugar. The siddha would be like this. But rather, the Lord, satisfied by seeing the sadhaka's one-pointed determination in regards to his performance of bhakti, sometimes becomes eager to give him things in order to show the person's one-pointed stubbornness and devotion to the Lord. This person does not desire the benedictions, varaha, even though they are accepted by others. 4.3, 4.1, 4.2. Right? Others might accept them, but they're not. Right, so they're not interested in the five kinds of liberation. This person is opposite of the sampradanika dhanavirya, who gives to the Lord. For here, the donor is the Lord and the beneficiary is the devotee. In this type of bhakti rasa, the udipanas are the mercy of Krishna, conversations of the Lord and his smiles. The anubhavas are conviction in the descriptions of the Lord's qualities. The vyavichari bhavas are such things as dhriti, resoluteness. Srila Prabhupada. Person who wants to give everything in charity to Krishna but does not want anything in return is considered the real renouncer. Thus, a devotee will refuse to accept any kind of liberation, even if it is offered by the Lord. Real love of Krishna becomes manifested when Krishna becomes the recipient of charity and the devotee becomes the giver. Srila Jiva Goswami. Right, because they're used to the idea that Krishna being the supreme and that he being the father and all that, he gives things to the devotees. But here is that they want it to be the other way around. Srila Jiva Goswami. Vipar yasta karakatvam means that in this case the roles are reversed. And the gift comes from the Lord and is given to the devotee. 4.3.43. The wise say that the sthayi bhava of this rasa is jagot saha rati. Jagot saha means the desire to reject things like the five kinds of liberation. Srila Jiva Goswami. And jagot saha, resolution to renounce, there is full rejection of sharshti, etc., and not things favorable for the devotee's bhakti. So you're not renouncing anything favorable. It's just that these other positions and all that. 4.3.44. From Hari Bhakti Shudodaya. O Lord, I desired the king's throne, but I attained you, who are hidden from even the chief devatas and sages. As a person on searching for glass and attaining jewels, no longer desires the glass. I, having attained you, have become successful and do not desire anything else. Srila Prabhupada. In the Hari Bhakti Shudodaya, there's another example forwarded by Maharaj Dhruva. He says there, my Lord, I have practiced austerities and penances because I was desiring to receive something from you. But in exchange, you have allowed me to see you, who are never visible even to the great sages and saintly persons. I have been searching out some pieces of broken glass, but instead I have found the most valuable jewel. I am therefore fully satisfied, my Lord, I do not wish to ask anything more from your lordship. Srila Jiva Goswami, these are the words of Dhruva. They do not spring from full realization of the sweet aspect of the word, Lord. These words arose from the touch of the Lord's conch. However, it is evident that gradually he obtained that realization. Footnote 6. Thus, his words are those of a sadhaka. 4.3.45. Right? So, a sadhaka, and then he comes to that perfectional platform. From the third canto. Persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are, engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions, like the material happiness of the heavenly kingdom, which are destroyed just by the raising of your brow. What then to speak of those experiencing rasa? Srimad Bhagavatam 3.15.48. Srila Prabhupada. Similar statement is to be found in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 15th chapter, verse 48. The four sages, headed by Shaunaka Muni, address the Lord as followers. Dear Supreme Personality of Godhead, your reputation is very attractive and free from all material contamination. Therefore, you are worthy of being glorified and are actually the reservoir of all places of pilgrimage. Auspicious persons who are fortunate enough to be engaged in glorifying your attributes and who actually know what your transcendental position is do not even care to accept liberation offered by you. Because they are so transcendentally enriched, they do not care to accept even the post of Indra, the heavenly king. They know that the post of king, they know that the post of the king of heaven is also fearful, whereas for those who are engaged in glorifying your transcendental qualities, there's only joyfulness and freedom from all danger. As such, why should persons with this knowledge be attracted by a post in the heavenly kingdom? 4.3.46. Some of the tyagis, by partaking of intense dasya bhava, attain the level of vira through the three types of parishads, durya, dhira, and vira. Footnote 7. These are mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.48. The vira parishad is described as a devotee who takes shelter of Krishna and has incomparable attraction for Krishna at the expense of all other attractions. And the other two? No? Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami. Some of the tyagis, as sadhakas, develop special deep bhava, praudha bhava vishesha bhak. In this case, the word visesha, special, means they develop a particular dasya bhava corresponding to the resolute practice. That is because each and every devotee attains a position corresponding to his mood of practice, while following the principle of giving up all desires except those to please the Lord, right? So that's the generic, giving up all desires except those to please the Lord. So if that is given up, then you can get into a very specific the mood of practice and that. So we see is that this general is always there. All Vaishnavas follow that. Then depending upon that particular flavor, that in reverence or that in sweetness or like this, then that will be the further. But in all cases, all of them are only have the desire to please the Lord. 4.3.47. The person who, heart flowing with mercy, offers his body piece by piece to Krishna in a disguised form is called Dayavirya, resolute in showing mercy. 4.3.48.49. The Udipanas for the Dayavirya are such things as appearance of suffering in a person who will be the object of mercy, Krishna in disguise. The Anubhavas are steadiness, words of comfort, protecting those in distress, even at the expense of one's life. The Vyabhichari Bhavas, such as things like Autsukya, impatience, Mati, finding meaning through scriptural reference, and Harsha, joy. Okay, so we'll stop here for now. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.